For the tourist more interested in exploring the inner self rather than attaining a perfect tan, the capital city of the state of New Mexico, Santa Fe, might be a tempting choice. No beaches, but beautiful scenery and clean air, and people prepared to help in the search for spiritual enlightenment. Plenty of people exploring their relationship to reality. Reporter Bob Garfield, our ambassador to the New Age, went there only barely aware of that side of Santa Fe, but in short order came to a greater understanding.
So I walk into the hotel gift shop to buy newspapers, you know, foraging for local oddities, as roving reporters are sometimes reduced to doing, and as I'm frantically ripping from page to page, the cashier wants to know what I'm up to. Looking for weird stuff, I say. That's what I do. Do you know of any weird stuff in Santa Fe? That depends on what you mean by weird, she says. I say, well, I was just in California chasing after a lady who balances people's auras by cutting their hair. Unfortunately, I never tracked her down. Aura balancing, the cashier says. What would be weird about that? This is my first clue that there is another dimension to Santa Fe, apart from the chic, excruciatingly hip, turquoise and adobe temple to southwestness that tourists know. Turns out that part of the city's 14% population growth in the past decade is attributable to people who don't think aura balancing is strange at all. Turns out this lady has a friend who balances auras, a guy named Ralph down at the health food store.
Yeah, that's 393, please.
The store is called The Marketplace, a grocery on the fringes of downtown. Frankly, lots of cities have a health food supermarket like this, where you can get all the dried kelp and tofu enchiladas you need, fast, no questions asked. But as the manager leads me to Ralph, she takes me past clue number two about the other Santa Fe. This isn't just any organic food outlet in just any town. We're in the vitamin aisle, and where I'm expecting to find Flintstone Kids, I'm seeing an array of bottles with little labels and big promises.
Luminous spirit, positive attitude, women's courage, emotional rescue, clearing hate, clearing grief, humiliation, children of divorce.
Herbal remedies, one for every complaint, all made in Santa Fe. Unfortunately, there's nothing here for bad timing. It's noon at this point, and Ralph can't see me until quitting work in the evening, so I decide to hit the Central Plaza and grab a bite to eat. Now, I'm not an eavesdropper by nature, but having been in town for an hour and already having discovered an aura balancer and herbs for emotional rescue, I can't help being struck by a conversation between two other people at the fajita stand, people who realize they know each other from the drum-making workshop they took last year. Their names are Margie and Miguel.
The intent of the workshop was to go simply beyond how to stretch skin over wood, but to use the drum making process as a route to access some inner stuff, inner feelings and thoughts.
The tom-tom as a route to the greater truth. This, I was rapidly coming to understand, is quintessential Santa Fe. The Marketplace organic grocery turns out not to be an oddity so much as a metaphor for a city that itself is a supermarket of the supernatural, a hall of mirrors for the inner self. And as Margie says, people are drawn here for precisely that reason.
I think people are looking to get closer to the earth. They come here because the sky is so blue and the sunsets are so, you know, rich. And the land somehow speaks to their soul. And it's a journey related to that. That's why I came here.
I look in the calendar section of the Daily New Mexican, and the magnitude of Santa Fe's preoccupation reveals itself. There's a full page of opportunities to minister to the troubled soul. Jori healings, Sufism, homeopathy and spiritual development, a world in need of therapy workshop at the Sipapu Center, spiritual emergence support clinic, plus 38 other 12-step programs, support groups, and other roads to holistic health. And that's just on Thursdays, in this mecca of psychic tourism, where the very bedrock is said to pulsate with healing energy.
In Santa Fe and around Santa Fe, there are many vortexes of energy. And these vortexes connect the earth energy with other dimensions. And that's why I came here. I came to find a vortex.
Joanna Cordy is a 38-year-old transplanted Easterner who advertises in The Sun, an alternative newspaper specializing in the healing arts.
A wonderful way to experience what's happening here is to go outside the city limits and take your shoes off and just stand on the ground and feel Mother Earth and just be silent for a moment, and then you'll know what I'm talking about.
Originally from Syracuse, New York, Joanna ventured here to take advantage of the unique obsidian rock bed and the vibrational emanations therefrom. Moving to Santa Fe, she says, was the natural evolution of a lifelong quest for personal growth.
I was born and raised a Catholic, and when I was in college, I studied Zen Buddhism, and I also was involved with Eastern religion called Ekankar for many years. And that during that time, I learned how to meditate and how to leave my body and how to experience different planes of reality. I had rebirthing. I've had lots of acupuncture, lots of acupressure, lots of Jinshin Jitsu, massage work, polarity work, lots of chiropractic. I've done some Hikomi therapy, some hypnotherapy, lots of processing, self-motivation tapes. I listen a lot to a channel named Lazarus, and I've done a lot of his workshops. Sound healing, vibrational healing, music healing, crystals and pyramids. Oh, I don't want to miss anything. Yes, I've done a lot of astrology too.
Also pendulums and tarot, color healing, and the I Ching. Oh, also balance sheets. We forgot to mention the balance sheets, which she used to do in France as an MBA financial analyst for Burroughs Corporation. But numbers crunching is a thing of the past now. Ensconced in Santa Fe, a leather pouch dangling from her neck with blue tourmalines inside, she is practicing spiritual medicine. Joanna Cordy is a psychic surgeon, performing 10 to 20 spiritual procedures a week at $75 a pop.
Now, how that works is I sit at the person's crown chakra, which is at the top of the head, and I go into a trance state. And at that time, the different energies that I work with and the spirit doctors go through, open up the person's crown chakra and work through and clear the spiritual bodies. Then it allows the physical body to heal itself.
Blue Cross and Blue Shield cover this?
No, it doesn't.
But it's not such a ludicrous idea, says James Tamarelli, editor and publisher of The Sun, where Joanna and scores of others advertise their metaphysical services. To him, the distinction between Joanna's psychic surgery and internal medicine is nothing more than a difference in belief systems. And if spiritual assistance is strange, he wants to know, what about Christianity? What about prayer?
If they have power in them, you know, like sensitivity and energy and a connection with something higher that they call praying to God, she has power in her and a connection with something higher that she calls working on the psychic level, they are the same thing. And people get help that way.
What percentage of this stuff should I be expected to take seriously?
Well, I would take it all seriously. Because they're all serious.
This is the Temple of Light Healing Center and Bed and Breakfast, where Jean Gossi, the proprietor, is circling the rims of seven crystal bowls with the rubber-tipped edge of a doorstop to create the proper sound environment for her work. She's another advertiser in The Sun, and her suburban Santa Fe Rambler is one-stop shopping for healing and transformation. It just depends on which of her diplomas you want to exploit. Jean is a certified biomagnetic healer, certified energetics practitioner, second-degree Reiki healer, certified aromatherapist, licensed massage therapist, and a certified medium. The bedrooms of her home are filled with electromagnetic gizmos and crystals, but her pride and joy is in the backyard. It is her ascension chamber, built according to the sacred geometry, for nothing less than a spiritual voyage to the stars.
It's made up of 15 equilateral triangles. If you step over the little ethereal wall here, this was channeled in so that I can keep the energy spinning as they're meant to in the main part of the chamber. And in the main part of the chamber here, one sits under a copper pyramid. This copper pyramid is built with the same specifications, only smaller, of course, as the Giza Pyramid in Egypt. Cassette player if one chooses. There's also synchro-energizer with light sound machines. There's also a crystal bowl out here.
She doesn't actually do anything to you out here. She just sticks you in a fleece-covered barca lounger, tilts you back to astronautic angles, and frees you to privately commune with the pantheon of gods, mystics, and prophets whose pictures she has laid out against the wall.
Amici, Sananda, or Lord Jesus, Buddha, Kuan Yin, Master Kutumi, Sai Baba, Commander Ashtar, commander of the Ship of Jerusalem.
Ship of Jerusalem?
It's one of the spaceships.
That's spaceships from another planet. But never mind that. I have an appointment with Ralph, the aura balancer.
I ask that through this light, that any karmic action that can be released up into the light take place today for Bob and for myself. That light field protect and surround us in this.
Ralph Fire Eagle works days at the marketplace, but in his off hours, he is a biomagnetic healer, adjusting people's body auras to get their seven chakras of body energy in the proper balance. Right now, his subject is me. I'm supine on a massage table, and he is painstakingly guiding his hands around my aura, which evidently is way out of tune. Rainbows dance on the ceiling, courtesy of prisms suspended in front of the windows, and Ralph slowly molds my auric field like so much modeling clay.
Each of us has an individual center on certain parts of the physical body. So what I'm doing is checking to see, they're all little individual spinning wheels of energy, which spin a positive clockwise form. So what I'm doing now is checking to see if they're in balance. You have a family?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wife and two kids.
Hmm. Your kids young?
7 and 10.
All right. I'm asking you these questions because when I came through this part of your field here, I received like a little picture when I saw your family. Okay, I could see that you had kids. So you carry the people who you were really close to with you when you were in the work field.
Did you happen to see if my wife picked up the shirts at the dry cleaner?
The treatment takes 20 minutes, but when it is complete, I don't feel particularly balanced. What I feel mainly is puzzlement. Puzzlement about how a kind and sincere man like Ralph can believe in this hocus-pocus. Or maybe it isn't hocus-pocus. Maybe if I'd only stand barefoot outside the city, as the psychic surgeon has recommended, I'd feel the energy resonating from the obsidian rock bed. But clearly, all these healing therapies can't be for real, so you'd have to do a lot of balancing, a lot of questing, a lot of check writing to separate the therapeutic wheat from the chaff. Where does it all end for the true seekers and spiritual hypochondriacs, searching endlessly for the external meaning they are destined never to find? This is precisely the question I posed to Alexandra Windsor Betts, who sells overpriced artwork to tourists in her own downtown gallery. I've stopped here looking for a souvenir, but naturally I discover that Windsor Betts herself has sampled the psychic smorgasbord. Eventually, though, she got weary of the process, which she likened to kids wandering around at recess.
And we're sort of waiting for the bell to ring and then for someone to tell us what to do next. But we're all out there kind of waiting for someone to give us instructions, and there really aren't any. We have to make our own.
A mecca for healing or a magnet for neurosis? More feckless Californians and Coloradans and Easterners put roots down here each day, and the city is thriving. But at what cost? What will all this spiritual self-absorption do to Santa Fe? On the Central Plaza, Native American buskers commuting from their pueblo play street music, and jugglers toss around Indian clubs. One of them is Roque Marquez, who resents what has become of his town.
I think it's for the worse. I think we're losing a lot of what we used to have.
How so?
Well, the people, the original people, the people that have been here developing all these arts, people whose grandparents were curanderas, and herbalists and healers of all sorts can't even afford to live here because they can't afford $1,000 a month rents. It's impossible. Can't stay. There's a big resentment because we have to leave. People have to leave. Natives have to leave. People who have been here 10 years, you know, people who have been here before Santa Fe got hard to live in have to leave.
Is Santa Fe the most healed place in America, or is it something else entirely?
I think there's a lot of sickness coming here.
To get healed?
To get healed, but as a result, there's been just a whole lot of sickness.
I'm on the road outside of Santa Fe, headed towards Albuquerque, standing in the desert, taking off my shoes, and I'm now going to try to connect with the positive energy of this place. Well, I definitely feel something. Yep. It's a rock.
And it wasn't obsidian. It wasn't tourmaline. It was just a rock. And it was stuck in my foot. And in spite of the ancient spirit doctors, it hurt. I'm Bob Garfield.
It's All Things Considered.
One way to think about what goes on in the nation's capital is this.